24. And Matthew 24 is like one of those exciting passages. We start talking about the Lord's return. And that's the question that was on everyone's mind at that point was, Lord, when are these things going to happen? They were expecting Jesus to come and proclaim himself to be the Messiah. Come and deliver them from Rome. Deliver them from bondage. And we see throughout this time that often the disciples were asking the question, you know, who's going to be greatest in your kingdom? Who's going to sit at the right hand? And they're all kind of jockeying for positions in the kingdom to come. And so they're anticipating this. And Jesus has been ministering now for, you know, three and a half years. He is now in the final stretch. And he tells them that, look, this temple is going to be destroyed. There's going to be a time when we don't go somewhere to worship God, that we'll worship him in our hearts. And eagerly the disciples are like, when is this going to happen? And so last week we talked about sort of the birth pains, right? We talked about that there's going to be earthquakes and famines and destruction and civil unrest. Sin's going to run amok in here. Wrong will be now called right, and right will now be called wrong. Turn on the news, right? This is all being played out right in front of us. I just look what's going on, and you know, they want to make it like I'm the crazy one. And in some things I am, but not on this. You know, basically all the ways that probably you were raised is now all wrong. So I shared, I had an opportunity to speak at River Life Bible Camp and talk to teens and the struggle that they're having and the garbage they're being taught and the confusion that's being brought in. And my daughter was like, Dad, so many of these kids now are being homeschooled. People who had never thought of it before said, enough of this. I can't have, one girl was talking about how she was playing basketball and one of the girls on the team believes that she's a dog and bit her. And she complained to the coach because she's got a scar. So the girl broke skin and she was told that she was a bigot for complaining and that she just has to accept this. This is insanity, what's going on in our world today. And I think part of it, when we see these things, stirs within us, Lord, how long are you going to let this go? Until you come back. And so I'm with the disciples. When are these things going to be happening, right? And what we talk about when Jesus is saying he's coming again, right? When Jesus is talking about setting up his kingdom, we're not talking about the rapture of the church. If you're familiar with the concept of the rapture of the church, is that we believe that before the great tribulation, before things get too bad, that the Lord's going to take his church and take us away. And he's going to call, the trumpet's going to blow, and we'll be going with him. And then he's going to come after the tribulation period and set up his kingdom here on earth. So there's that pause between being caught up with him in the air and then him coming down and set up his kingdom. So what they're talking about here is, when are you going to come and establish your kingdom? That's what they're asking. So we got to keep that in mind, because sometimes we read this chapter and we're thinking, oh, the Lord's coming. We're talking about rapture. And that'll really mess up your end times theology. So it's important for us to realize what's being discussed here, right? Not when you're coming back for your church, but when you're coming back to set up your kingdom. And so we pick up things up in Matthew 24, verse 15. It says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, it says, whoever reads, let him understand. I'm going to start with this last bit here because I find this fascinating. He says, whoever reads, let him understand. There are some things in Scripture, we're very self-centered. Or, I'll let you off the hook. I'm very self-centered. Sometimes I read the Scriptures and I think it's all about me. Right? So there's some passages that as things kind of play out, as things are being explained, I'm like, wait a minute, how does this pertain to me? And sometimes it doesn't. And there are things in Scripture, especially getting to book like Revelation, that we read and it's a mystery because what exactly is it talking about? But I believe the people who are alive during that period of time, because guess what? They're going to have the Bible as well. So some things will become clear to them as they are in that. Does that make sense? So we read these things and we have this sort of a general picture, but some of the details we wonder, like, what exactly is this?
I think it's going to be a different thing for those who actually go through that. So it's good for us to know it because we might go through some of it. Right? So I want to know. But I love this sort of phrase here. It says, whoever reads, let him understand. That there's a time when they're going to be living through this. And they'll be watching the news and say, hey, this is just unfolding just as God says it did. But he says, he talks about the abomination of desolation. That's a fancy term. Throw that at a party. You really impress people. What do you think about the abomination of desolation? What he's talking about here is that the temple will be defiled. Look what Daniel says, right? This is who Jesus quotes. As then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offerings. And on the wings of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even till the consummation which is determined is pouring out on the desolate. Clear as mud, right? But what Daniel was pointing out here is that in the end times, you've heard like 7-year tribulation. You've heard that year, term 7 years. Where he comes from is Daniel. Daniel says for 1 week, right? And when you take that, most scholars believe that a week is a year. So we're talking about a 7-year period of time. And what's going to happen is a person's going to come onto the scene who's referred as the Antichrist, who is a person who is against Christ, who is opposed Christ. He's the opposite of Christ. And what's going to happen is at the beginning of this period that he's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years. So we see that kind of playing out. And I know every once in a while we get excited, you watch the news, and I do, I fall into this. It says, oh, all of a sudden now we're talking about Israel and peace treaties, and my heart's like, are we getting close? Right? Because there's going to be a peace treaty. But this Antichrist is going to have the power to make peace, at least for a while. But halfway through, that he's going to declare himself God and stop the sacrifices. Now, it's interesting because we talk about the sacrifices that's in the temple, right? Does anyone know what's the problem with that right now? There's no temple. And so it's interesting that over the years of church history, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed, right? And the Jews fled. And so Israel ceased to be a nation after 70 AD. And so a lot of scholars said, oh, well, the Bible talks about Israel, but there is no Israel, so therefore it must all be symbolic. It must all be spiritual talk, right? So when God says, yeah, Israel, he didn't really mean Israel until 1948, where Israel became a nation again. And all of a sudden people were like, oh, you know what? Maybe when the Bible said Israel, guess what? Maybe he means Israel. God's word is true. Even though we can't always make sense of it. So I believe, in light of this, that the temple is going to be rebuilt. And if you follow sort of prophecy and those things right now, supposedly they have all the things for the temple. Their priests are being prepared for it. So all these things are supposed to be in a buzz. And so someday it will be put back up and Israel will start worshiping in the temple again. And then halfway through the tribulation period, what is the abomination of desolation is that Antichrist will go into the temple and declare himself God. So Antichrist, according to John, it says, in little children, it is the last hour, talking about getting towards the end time. It says, as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming, right? This one is going to set himself up. And over the years, I've heard Hitler was going to be the Antichrist. Donald Trump was supposed to be the Antichrist. I've heard Bill Clinton was supposed to be the Antichrist. Every generation has their one and said, oh, this is the one. And it says, oh, no, it's not. If you remember from last week, Satan doesn't know, right? So he's always putting pieces in place until God says, not yet, not yet. And I almost picture that scene of, the world's being set and God says, nope, not yet, and knocks all the toys down and then starts all over again. So we see this throughout history, right? I mean, I'm sure in your lifetime there were people who said, oh, this is it. He must be the Antichrist. And he says, oh, it's not. It's not yet time.
But he will reveal himself halfway through this tribulation period, right? At first, he's going to be this charismatic, wonderful guy. People are going to think he's great. He's brought peace. He is the salvation of the world. And we see our world heading towards this, right? I mean, you can sort of see how the stage is set. If someone came onto the scene and says, look, I can bring peace, right? I can see the world gathering around. Because I think our world desperately wants peace. And the turmoil that's all around it. And we see this harmony sort of taking place. So I don't know if you can read this or not. But made this quick little chart to sort of just talk about the end times. Daniel says for 1 week, 7 years, this is going to be. In the beginning of it, you see up in the corner here, it says the Antichrist will make a covenant with many nations. That's out of Daniel. So a peace treaty is going to be brought in. And then for 3.5 years, he sets himself up. And the passage we're talking about here is in Matthew 24. The abomination that caused desolation. That in here, the temple will be defiled. Antichrist will declare himself to be God. Not just a leader, but also to be God and to be worshipped. Then we get into the final 3.5 years of the tribulation period, which is going to be horrible. You read the book of Revelation, and the world has never seen anything like this. Worldwide earthquakes. The sun will go out. Meteor showers. I mean, the destruction and death around the world is going to be tremendous as we get towards the final judgment. Then finally, at the end of that 7 year period, the Lord Jesus Christ himself will come and declare his rightful place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will set up a kingdom here on earth. And the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 20 that for 1,000 years he will reign here on earth, physically here on earth. Because there's so many prophecies in the Old Testament about Israel and how it will be a restored kingdom here. And God's going to fulfill that during that millennial reign. Millennial just means 1,000 years. So that's a quick overview of kind of what's coming on down the road. We talk about the idea of the Antichrist, that in here we'll have this merger. You read the book of Revelation, it's this merger of civil. It'll be a government. It'll be a tie-in with religion, and it'll be tied in with the commercial, the business world. You see those things all coming together. Like I said, I can't say this is what's going on now, but boys, you watch what's going on, and our government are in cahoots with business, right, who are pushing one message. Right? We see religion, it's interesting. Any religion goes except for Christianity. And we see this all, even in our government. You know, I over the last just few years, I've been praising the Lord for the Supreme Court, who has actually really been on the defense of religious freedom. We haven't seen that for years. And our government is time and time again really driving an anti-Christian agenda. We're told to accept what's going on in the world, not to say and stand on the word of God. And we are being persecuted for that. And so in here, we look at all these things starting to come in, and we've seen our world kind of going down that road. We can see how those things are merged up. Revelation chapter 13 talks about the Antichrist. And it says the dragon gave him power, right? The dragon is Satan who gives power to the Antichrist, who gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. It's interesting that here, the Antichrist in here will be declared like he was killed and come back to life. That sounds like Jesus Christ, who was wounded, died, and rose again. So he's the Antichrist. He has a similarity, except in everything he's the opposite. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worship the dragon who gave his authority to the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like the beast? And who was able to make war with him? He was given his mouth to speak great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. 42 months, do the math, that's 3.5 years. So halfway through, Antichrist is going to declare himself God. He's going to speak great blasphemies. He's going to have great power that people are going to say, wow. And he is able to do this, and he'll persecute the true church for the last 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell on the earth. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwelt on the earth will worship him whose name was not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So Revelation describes this, that here we have this civil leader who rises himself up, makes himself God, who becomes now a religious leader. And in here, all commerce. Actually, you just go a little bit beyond this and talks about that one of the things he will institute is called the mark of the beast. And without that, you will not be able to buy or sell. And so it's all tied into the commercial business. So we're going to see all aspects of life being in control to this Antichrist. So it's interesting, you know, when over the years people have been, is this the mark of the beast? I remember when barcodes came out and people were like, oh, the barcode must be the mark of the beast. Even now, just not that long ago, a lot of people were saying, oh, the COVID shot was the mark of the beast. Well, the mark of the beast doesn't come about until after the Antichrist is revealed. And that has not happened yet. So anyone who got the shot, don't worry, you did not take the mark of the beast. Right? But it's important for us to know the time frame in Scripture so we can put these things. That's why Jesus is telling these things. Look, don't be alarmed. Actually, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the Thessalonians were afraid that they missed the rapture and that they were heading towards the end times. And they were fearful of that. And I think sometimes as Christians, we fall into that, right? Lord, are we in the tribulation period, right? I don't know if you've ever heard anyone ask that, right? We see what's going on anytime there's an earthquake. Oh, is this the end times, right? Are we playing this all out right now? And sometimes as Christians, we get sort of nervous. I remember as a kid, we saw, remember back, I think it was the late 70s, early 80s, the Thief in the Night series. There was a movie series that came out. They played it at church. Excuse me. And they talk about the rapture and missing the rapture. And as a kid, I got terrified. Right? And I was afraid I was going to miss it. And fast forward a few years, I had a paper route. And I was going up through, and I went to bed. I woke up, and I was late. The power had gone off, and my clock was blinking, right? So I had no real what time it was. I got up. I'm like, oh, I missed that. I had to go down to the corner and wait for the paper. And usually it was about 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I go running down, go and run outside. I stand at the corner, and the newspapers aren't there, and they're always there. I was like, man, what's going on? I'm waiting and waiting, nothing. And then I look around and there's no cars. All the lights are off of all the neighbors. And I'm like, I missed it. The Lord came and I missed it. So I was petrified. I go running into the house and I'm yelling, Mom, Mom, Mom. And all of a sudden the lights come on. My mom goes like, what is wrong with you? And I gave her a big hug and I'm like, Mom, I thought I missed it. I thought the Lord came and I missed it. She goes, John, go to bed. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh, okay. And I've talked to other Christians who have had that moment, right? Because we get nervous. We see what's going on. And it's like, well, God, are you truly in control? And this passage goes down through and Jesus tells us, look, don't worry. He's in control. He knows when it's going to happen, right? I don't have all the details. I don't understand it all. But I know enough to look at it and say, okay, Lord, you know what? I don't have to worry about the mark of the beast because the Antichrist hasn't been revealed. And so Paul was telling the Thessalonians, and this is where we come to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we asked you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. We're not talking about the rapture here. We're talking about the Lord coming back to set up his kingdom here on earth. So no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless a fallen away comes first. So one of the aspects Paul brings in here is many are going to leave the faith. People who used to say they're Christians are no longer. Those who used to go to church no longer do that, right? And I think our nation, we're seeing this. People are leaving the faith. says, unless that fallen away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, this is the Antichrist, will be revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above all that are called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the Antichrist will declare himself God to be worshipped. That has not happened yet. Don't worry, the Lord has not come back yet. You did not miss it. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, right? So this process is already going on, right? Jesus talks about as birth pains, right? These things are kind of falling into place. So that's why we look around, we're like, oh, this looks like the end times, right? Because these things are starting to come in. But don't be alarmed, all right? It may be it, but it may not. Right? These things are already in work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. The restraining force is the Holy Spirit in this world. That he's holding it back. And there's going to be a day in which he says, okay, go. And the Holy Spirit will be removed. And I believe when the Holy Spirit's removed, we will be removed. And then literally all hell will break loose here on earth. As there'll be nothing stopping the Antichrist of putting all these things into place. It says, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy in the brightness of his coming. And the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Because he did not receive the love of truth, that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, and they should believe a lie. I think we look around in the world today, and we're like, how in the world does this make sense to people? Right? You wonder that? And Satan is a liar. He is a deceiver. And then in here, as we turn away from God, people's hearts become cold, and God turns them over to their own affections. And in here, he turns them over to this delusion to believe a lie. So back in Matthew chapter 24, we have the Antichrist is going to come. He's going to declare himself God. He will declare himself to be worshipped. Then Jesus continues in Matthew 24. It says, then if anyone say to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand, therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner room, do not believe it. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For therefore, where the carcass is, there the eagles will gather together. Then here, as we get towards that, don't lose your way. Christian, do not lose your way. People are saying, oh, here is Christ, there is Christ. Don't be deceived. And we see this today. Christianity has been morphing into the philosophies of this world, trying to draw people away from the truth. Don't leave the path that God has laid out before you. Don't fall for it. There is Christ. Oh, he's in the desert. Oh, God's over here. God's over there. No, stay on the truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Stay true to the word. Know it. Recognize it. So you are able to recognize the wiles of the devil. Don't be deceived. There are many who will come and declare themselves on behalf of God. Don't fall for it. Say true. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. The powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Right? In this case, remember, we're not talking about the rapture of the church. This time he's coming in power and with authority. When Jesus came the first time, he came in humility. He came as a lamb to sacrifice himself for you and I. He came as a suffering servant. He came to be an example to us. But the Lord comes back again. He will come with power and with authority, and he will judge. And what a fearful day that will be for those that don't believe. To stand before the judge. You know, I pray for our political leaders today. I pray for our governor because she is leading the state in an immoral direction in so many different ways. And she will have to stand before the Creator God and give an account. Right? And so many of them are in this for themselves, for the wrong reasons, with God-given authority that they will give an account for. We live in a world today where things are just so wrong and we cry out for justice. There is a time when they will stand before God. I don't say this because I enjoy that, but it's true. I say this as a warning to those around us. He is coming again, not as a babe, but as a king. Revelation chapter 19, we have this scene. And he talks about after the tribulation of the day, right? Jesus talks about during the last bit, and you read Revelation, and talks about the sun being darkened and the stars falling from the sky. Death will be rampant. This world will be in terrible turmoil and tribulation, such as the world has never seen. And we see this throughout the book of Revelation, that God is doing this to make people turn from their sin and come to Him. Right? He gives them a chance to repent. That in here, the scripture tells us that He's got witnesses here on earth who are proclaiming the truth. For those that want to get saved, He's given them the opportunity. And yet man, time and time again, turns his back on God, the only Savior of the world, and trusts in himself. They'd rather follow the Antichrist, a fake Christ, than the true Christ. And the warning goes out. The message is shared. But there is going to be a day when Jesus returns. Look at Revelation chapter 19. It says, I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like the flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. That he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is my Jesus. That he has come and no one is able to stand in his way. In righteousness he will come and declare truth and judge this world that has turned its back on him. But don't be deceived. He is coming again. And he is King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. That day will come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And Jesus wraps up this portion. He says, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And Jesus wraps this up and says, look, here's the parable of the fig tree. When you look, right, the leaves are there. It's time for the fruit to come. Be watchful. Because these things are set in place. Folks, we are closer than we've ever been. I can't say the Lord's coming back today, but boy, what a wonderful thing it would be if He did. But beware, watch and wait. Don't be caught unaware. Be caught being busy. And it says, surely I say to you, this generation will no means pass away till all these things take place. And this verse has caused some confusion because some will say, well, this is the generation Jesus was talking to, but Jesus didn't come and set up his kingdom while this generation, right? So what's he talking about here? And my take on it, what he's talking about is the generation that starts seeing these things happen, it'll finish it. Right? Those who start seeing these things take place. The generation that sees the Antichrist, they're going to see the Lord's return. Just like the fig tree, right? The generation that sees everything already is going to be the one that sees it through completion. The idea here is it's going to happen. It's going to happen quick. Right? From the time, the final judgment, we have 7 years of tribulation. That's not a long time. One thing I found, the older I get, the faster time goes. So that generation that's going to start to see the beginning of these things are going to see it to fruition. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I pray, as we talk about these things, I hope that Jesus Christ is your Lord and He is your Savior. He's your King of Kings right now. We have a choice on this side of judgment that we can make our own decision to follow Him. Lord, I give you my life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I give you my life. Come and forgive me of my sins. And Lord, help me live for you. Let me worship you. Not because I have to, Lord, because I want to. Because at the judgment, the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Every knee will bow. But they will bow not because they want to, because they have to. Oh Lord, help me do it now. Let me live for you. Let me be ready. Even so, come quickly, Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Encourage us with it, Lord. That you are in control, Lord. All things are according to your time. And nothing is catching you by surprise. Lord, as we see this world go downhill, Lord, as we see this world turn its back upon you, Lord, help us be encouraged with the fact that you are in control. And Lord, that you win in the end. That Lord, if any man be in Christ, Lord, we are on the winning side. Lord, help us not to falter. Lord, help us not to slip away, but stand firm upon your truth, Lord, to follow you until you come. Strengthen us, Lord, as we see that day approaching. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Grab your